is out there, and tonight on an all-new I Want to Believe here on the Podzilla 1985 Network, we are going to find the truth. And the truth is, Jesse Kimball should not talk about international relations. With me tonight, because my name is Shannon Young, by the way, I'm the host, I don't know if I mentioned that. With me tonight, we have, looking around uncomfortably, Double H.
That's not me, that's Tanner. Also, the adventure begins.
What? And the man himself, Tanner Calvert.
You see that giant die?
Yes. Okay. Awesome. Okay. Good show tonight, guys. Let's start off with a couple of real quick tidbits and tide bites. I wanted to...
That's 2 years old, at least. We're not biting tides. We're not doing that.
Anybody else watch King Kong versus Godzilla but me?
Nope.
You did watch it, Tanner? Yes. All right, real quick reviews on a scale of 1 to 10. 1 being this movie is worse than, I don't know, what's the worst movie of all time? What's the worst movie you've ever seen, really quick? If you guys, it just it doesn't have to be the worst, just something that you know for a fact was just god-awful.
I would have to look up the title, but Alicia Silverstone was in it. It was around 1997 or so, and it was something about, like, she gets kidnapped. But, like,
Benicio del Toro, right?
I think so, yeah. What's it called? Like Hitchhiker or something? It's something weird. It was terrible, though.
I know exactly what you're talking about, and it is bad. Bad.
I'll see if I can find it. Go to Tanner.
Tanner, what's the worst movie you've ever seen?
Oh, God. Oh, Lord. That's a lot of options.
Excess Baggage.
Excess Baggage.
Excess Baggage, and it was indeed Alicia Silverstone, Benicio del Toro. Christopher Walken is in this movie somehow, and it gets like a halfway score on not that IMDb is worth anything, but a 5.4 out of 10. But I saw that movie in theaters when it came out, and granted, I was 12, but it was awful. It was
terrible. Ciro Viegas rightfully said Pluto Nash. That is a bad film. Michaela said Back to the Future.
No. What?
Michaela, please.
I'm going to say the worst movie I've seen, at least in theater, is Fear.com. Yeah, that's a fantastic film. Fear.com was awful. Well, on a scale of 1 being Pluto Nash and 10 being the best movie you've ever seen, which we all agree is the original Ghostbusters, where do you put King Kong versus Godzilla? Earth Girls Are Easy. I remember that movie. And by the way, they're not. It's actually difficult. Tanner, for me, Kong versus Godzilla, Godzilla versus Kong was a solid 7.5 out of 10. I had a lot of fun. It was a big, stupid action movie, but I really liked it. What did you think?
I was going to give it an 8.
I think we're both in the same ballpark.
Yeah, it tried to speed through too much. It tried to put too much into a short amount of time.
I'm actually glad about that. I was worried it was going to be, if you've ever watched a Godzilla film, Japanese or American, it's always an hour of humans talking. Godzilla does something for about 10 minutes and then he disappears to the end of the movie. So I was glad this movie was chock full of Godzilla and Kong. I liked that.
I was fine with that, but like there was just some things I wish I could have seen. Like I wish I could have given some kind of pre build up to how Kong ended up in the situation he was in.
Well, Tanner, I wish I was a little bit taller.
I wish I was a baller.
Damn it.
So the general consensus, we don't spend a lot of time on it, is that you should definitely check it out if you're a Godzilla fan or a King Kong fan. It worked for both monsters. It was really good. I thought it was a lot of fun. So, and Tanner agrees. Okay.
That's good. That's very good.
I want to start making while it's going on. Every time we do I Want to Believe, I want to talk about Creepshow, because Creepshow is back on Shudder. They've had their 2 episodes in. The newest episode, which aired last Friday, I believe, had Keith David in it. That's all you need to know. Go check it out. Keith David.
Yeah, that's good news.
Also, the first story was about a haunted hotel, quote-unquote, bed and breakfast. And it had Ali Larter and C. Thomas Howell. I love both of them as well. And yeah, second one had Keith David, so can't go wrong with that. Anyway, so go watch Creepshow. It's fantastic. If you didn't watch the first season, it's on Shudder as well. It is so much fun. It's a throwback to those 80s horror films. It's based on the old comic. It's amazing. Go watch Creepshow. Don't waste my time. I have that genie, Maria. Remember, I've got him in pop form. The genie in the suitcase. He's fantastic.
Hunter, remember genie? He's back in pop form.
Which one? The superior Will Smith version, or the? Hear me out.
I will cut you. I swear to
hold
God.
On, hold on. Before you, it's not going where you think it's going. The superior Will Smith version, or the second place Robin Williams version.
No. I'm sorry we didn't grow up on the news with Brian Williams.
And Bryant Gumbel. All the Bryants.
I'm aware.
Okay, anyway. Hunter, what'd you think?
You were going to ask me a question. What is it?
I was going to ask you what you thought of the clip that came out from Ghostbusters Afterlife before we get into the regular show with the mini Stay Puffs.
Well, first of all, I had way too much to eat before I got in here, so excuse me. Secondly, this clip dropped, late last week, if I remember correctly, and it was confusing because when it first came out, it was not made clear if this was a clip from the movie, if this was part of a tie-in product, if it was a commercial. Excuse me. In time, they have started calling it a character reveal. So I'm assuming that means, I'm assuming that means it is technically a clip from the movie. They're just not calling it a trailer because it's not really that. It's one continuous clip from the movie. It's the kind of thing that if they were doing the talk shows right now, they would show this, I would assume.
No, they wouldn't.
I mean, wait a minute. Paul Rudd wouldn't, because Paul Rudd would very clearly go on Conan and show only the clip from Mac and Me exclusively. Shannon, can we show that clip real quick?
I don't have it ready, damn it. Sorry.
We need just a Mac and Me button. just like the Walker lever. But anyway.
So I don't have a button for this, but I do want to play something really quick. You guys can't hear it. They're going to hear it in the live chat. I just wanted to throw it in there. It is a clip of Maria saying, "My boy's a box," and we're going to play that right now.
My boy's a box.
Okay, that was great for everyone. That was great.
The mini puffs. I feel like the internet is going nuts over these things in a bad way, and that really blows my mind. I think a lot of people thought mini puff was like not necessarily the next Grogu back here, but along those same lines. But I liked it. I thought it was fine. I mean, it's. I think the other night you were getting very deep into it, like, but why? Why are the marshmallows animated, and why do they look like Stay Puft? And why? Who cares? It doesn't matter. It's cute. It's fun. They're ghosts. It's paranormal. They can do whatever they want.
I need to know. I need answers. I need to know. Why? Why? Why did the fiend disappear? Why did Alexa Bliss bleed black goo?
He came out in a box-like structure.
His boy's a box.
The boy was in a box-like structure, according to Michael Cole. I don't know why the man wouldn't say box. Is there a trademark on box they're not allowed to use?
I think AEW has that one, yeah.
And I'm assuming that was a oil-like substance that was coming out of the crown. Anyway,
all right.
We had like 7 memes in that. Point being, I want to clarify for the audience, because I misunderstood this too. I think it was me, you, and Kaz were playing Call of Duty. And at the moment, it sounded like you were like very upset. Like, I don't like this at all. And afterward, you clarified, no, I like it just fine. I just want to know more. You were in Starship Troopers just pressing the button.
Would you like to know more? Yeah. Yes. Mostly it's because I want to see that movie so bad. It comes out November 10th of this year. Oh my God, I'm so excited.
Almost exactly a week before our wedding anniversary. And so
That's a good gift.
Yes.
Last thing, I don't think we got a chance to talk about this on this show yet. If you're looking for, I just want to plug this because I really enjoyed the movie. If you're looking for a really good scary movie and you have Amazon, this is one of the scariest films I've seen in a long time. And for a horror nut like me, it takes a lot to scare me. Gonjiam Haunted Asylum, Korean found footage movie. It's amazing. Go watch it. Now we're going to get to the story. We're going to get to the stories right after. One more time, let's hear Maria say, "My boy's a box."
My boy's a box.
Like structure.
All right, that was
I tried to time it. I don't know how that happened.
Okay. First story. This one's a quick one. I'll take it. I named this story Yuri Geller is a fucking idiot. I don't know if you know who Yuri Geller is, but he is a psychic.
Was, right? Is he not?
I think he's still.
Comes out sometimes, yeah.
Yeah.
He's not. I'm thinking of the guy who opposed him.
James Randi. No, he's fine. He's Thank fantastic.
You. Yeah. I was like, I knew somebody died, and for some reason I had Ewan McGregor on the brain, but it's the other.
Oh, if only. If only.
Yeah, was, I had it right.
Time out. You said James Randi and Shannon goes, oh, no, he's fine. No, he's dead.
His legacy is fine. He's, I mean, hey, dead. Sometimes dead is better. Huh? What's that one from? Huh?
Tanner.
Tanner?
He doesn't know.
He doesn't know.
He doesn't even know.
All right.
I'll shit myself over here.
So this is from Unexplained Mysteries.
Pet Cemetery.
It is Pet Cemetery. Thank you.
I haven't watched that. Won't watch it.
Watch the original. It's better, I think.
No. Hell no.
Yeah, it is. Especially the ending.
Oh, that ending cut deep, literally.
No. Mm-hmm. That ending is why I won't watch the movie.
Fantastic film. All right. So you remember...
I have one rule in horror movies. I don't... Nothing with kids.
There was the ship, the Ever Given, that was stuck in that in the I don't, is it Suez? Suez? How do you pronounce it?
Suez.
Suez? And the Suez Canal. Well, they freed it, and if you're wondering how they got it, it wasn't thanks to machinery or planning or anything like that. It was actually thanks to Uri Geller and his followers. This is from Unexplained Mysteries. After tremendous cooperative effort involving skilled salvage crews, dredgers, and a small fleet of tugboats, the world breathed a sigh of relief when the gargantuan cargo ship, the Ever Given, was finally moved after being wedged in the canal for the better part of a week. According to Uri Geller, famed fucking idiot, it was the mind power of his fans that helped them move the ship. Ever the opportunist, the world-famous Israeli had urged his fans around the world to use their collective brain power to move the stricken vessel at 11:11 a.m. on Saturday. Specifically, 11:11 a.m. He said, "This was a mammoth task, but with your mind power and self-belief, we all together freed the ship. Your sheer positive energy also helped the ground crew efforts. Well done to them, too." Now, it's important to mention that the ship did not move on the date and time that he scheduled it. However, that doesn't seem to have stopped him from claiming he contributed to the effort.
I would hang on before you continue. I would like to briefly point out that for some reason your Uri Geller impression was a lot like Dusty Rhodes. It was a mind power of the fans, baby.
Well, this was a mammoth task, but which a mind power of self belief. Oh no, I sound like someone else. We all together freed the ship. Your sheer positive energy. Who am I now? It's an Eddie Murphy character, I believe.
I don't know.
Oh. You
sounded a whole lot like Arsenio Hall's preacher from the Back to America. I've been on the road for the last 10 hours. Keep going.
My eyes are red because you guys are making me laugh. Oh, okay. So yeah, I just wanted to throw that in there. It's a nothing story, but like, I hate Uri Geller. I hate psychics. So I just wanted to point out how fucking stupid he is. I sound like Waterboy. What do you mean I sound like Waterboy?
I especially like the end. Of course, the ship did not move on the date and time. It just feels like an SNL sketch is what we did. Well, you didn't. You didn't do that at that time. That's not what happened.
It's like the whole skit goes through, and then text pops up at the end that says, "Of course, it didn't move when they said it would."
And it's just layered over a picture of like Beck Bennett going.
I don't like that when I laugh, my face gets even redder, and I don't like it. It looks like I'm about to have a stroke. I look like someone who's very angry, and I'm not angry, mostly. Hunter, why don't you take the next story? I know you're a big fan of Jurassic Park. And this one...
Indeed I am. This story is titled, "Dr. Grant, My Dear Dr. Sadler, Welcome." That's a bad idea. So in Michael Crichton's best-selling book and the subsequent movie adaptation, scientists succeeded in bringing dinosaurs back to life by retrieving their DNA from insects trapped in amber. Specifically, Tanner, what kind of insects?
A skeeter.
That was indeed. Sure.
No.
Tanner joked, or Jan joked on his coffee.
Stop, I'm dying. Indeed,
something.
Oh.
So now, whether this can actually work in reality, however, has long remained a topic of debate. For the record, the scientific community very much believes it could not work that way. Max Hodak, a co-founder of Elon Musk's Neuralink company, has suggested on social media, not only is it possible, but the firm could actually do it if they wanted to. Kind of. He said, quote, "Biodiversity, and in this case, anti-fragility, excuse me, is definitely valuable. Conservation is important and makes sense. But why do we stop there? Why don't we more intentionally try to generate novel diversity? We could probably build Jurassic Park if we wanted to. Wouldn't be genetically authentic dinosaurs, but maybe 15 years of breeding plus engineering to get super exotic novel species." So first of all, what he's talking about here, if you're looking at biodiversity, is not the same thing. I don't even know why this guy's equating it to Jurassic Park, because it's not the same thing. On the surface level, now remember, Jurassic Park also was not accurate. And of course, right. at the time we thought it was, but if you look at it realistically now, it's not at all. And a lot of, I guess, fan theories basically have gone into that's why the dinosaurs in Jurassic Park look the way they do, is because they had to genetically splice them. Dog DNA, remember, that was already something they said they included to ensure that they wouldn't run into, I forget how they phrased it, but to fill in the gaps, basically, at the time. So if this is something that anybody was ever able to even attempt to do, it would look something like that. It would have to. It would not be entirely accurate to what happened at the time. All that being said, bad idea. Yes. Let's don't do that.
It's
at all
a bad idea to play God in general. And also,
yes,
the fact that you mentioned that the dinosaurs in Jurassic Park didn't look, you know, that they would, they had to look that way. I think now if they could do it, they would purposely, you know, create the dinosaurs to look like the famous depiction of dinosaurs, even though most people agree the famous depiction of dinosaurs is not correct.
Right.
But it's commercially correct. Like, that's when a kid goes to the dinosaur park, he doesn't want to see a bird. He wants to see a flipping T-Rex. But my question is like, isn't this basically sounds like the plot of Jurassic World, or was it Jurassic World 2, Fallen Kingdom, whatever, where they genetically create a new breed of dinosaur. They're creating new novelty creatures that that then escaped and killed people, and now we have to sit through another terrible sequel. So,
yep.
As much as I would love to see dinosaurs, because if there's anything I want to see in life more than aliens and ghosts, it's motherfucking dinosaurs. But with that said, what a terrible idea that would be to create a park filled with these creatures. Like, everyone loves the first film. The second film was okay. The third film, I think it's a bad rap. I liked it. But to actually see them, I think that's a mistake. Let's stop.
If I have to give this guy any... I'm sorry, Tanner, real quick. If I have to give this guy any credit, it's that I think what... Because this was all done in a tweet, right? I think what he's getting at is we could do the things that happened in the movie, not we could actually create some sort of theme park generated around it. Because, again, that has never worked. Granted, it's only ever been attempted in the movies, but every single time, even in the movies, it has failed. It's a bad plan, and you should feel bad. So as far as like following up on the process, maybe. The way that it's held there, bad plan.
Tanner,
cut it down.
So something like this I could see working with animals that are not dinosaurs. For example, there was an actual pretty much completely intact specimen of a woolly mammoth that was discovered. It was young. It was frozen. And when they pulled it out, they were actually able to puncture the skin and have running blood, where they could get viable DNA samples. Now something like that I would very much enjoy. Let's get that DNA. Let's recreate this creature. Let's bring it back.
I also think that's a good way to help with some of the endangered species that we have. You know, if you can genetically alter mates, or you can even, you know, artificially create some of these endangered creatures, I think that's a good idea. But to bring back, you know, especially dinosaurs, I mean, I would love it, because I mean, I think most of us, except Michaela, grew up loving dinosaurs, because she's probably never heard of them. But I think most of us want to see dinosaurs. It's a lifelong dream. But what a bad idea. And even more than that, I think this is... We're going to get to a point, it's very much like Jeff Goldblum said in Jurassic Park, where the idea will become, can we, as opposed to should we?
Should we, yeah.
And I think that is... If there's ever anything that's going to like speed along the destruction of the human race, it is that concept of, as we get smarter, as the technology gets better, as we become more sophisticated with it and are aware of how to manipulate it, how far are they going to take technology to do, I'm sure, things that are helpful, but also at what point do the wrong people get enough money, or they get enough knowledge, that they start to create things that are not beneficial, and they just do it because they can, or they have some sinister, you know, alternate motive.
Rather than the latter there, what can they do? That's Elon Musk's entire MO. I mean, don't get me wrong, he's done a lot of good things too, but 90% of what he announces or does nowadays is basically just, yeah, I think we can figure that out. Yeah, yeah. I think we can just hand out personal flamethrowers. Yeah, that's, we'll make it work. It's no big deal. Yeah, we'll shoot a car into space. Why not? Let's just throw one up there and see what happens.
Let's just jump into it.
As a race, as a society, I guess, for lack of a better term, we're kind of past the days of let's just throw everything at the wall and see what happens. Because at a certain point, that's not beneficial. It's more detrimental. We need to be attempting things that we already have at least a slight idea of the outcome of. I mean, what I'm getting at is, you know, there was a point in time when we didn't know how a lot of natural things work, and so you just had to try them. Somebody had to try the poison berries before we figured out which ones were the poison berries. This is kind of that same mentality. We can't just keep doing random stuff to see what happens, because some of those things, again, are going to be more detrimental than they are beneficial in the long run.
But,
well, so, and I can see the dinosaur, like, trying to bring back a reptilian species like that being detrimental, because obviously food chain wise they're gonna be top of the food chain, whereas like what they, I was talking about, like
they don't have assault rifles.
He's got a point.
I'm just saying they don't have assault rifles or missiles yet.
Still,
I mean, some of those dinosaurs can open doors. You saw Jurassic Park. How long before the dinosaurs?
Just a little thing.
Yeah, how long before the raptors get the nuke codes, you know?
That one thing was invisible. That was a T-Rex, and they made him invisible.
And you want to create these things, Tanner?
No.
Tanner Calvert, why do you hate the human race so much?
Why do you want to destroy everything and create a new dinotopia?
I wanted to bring back a woolly mammoth.
Wrong! Chuck Jamundo.
You want to bring back a woolly mammoth? Is that what you said?
Yeah.
I mean, he seems harmless, but the thing is,
that's necessarily a good idea. Is it okay? Here's the question at that point: is it ethical? Because you're talking about a living, breathing creature.
Yes.
Is it ethical to bring something back that is not meant for this era? It does not eat the things that have existed at this time. It does not breathe this air.
But I want to say real quick, Tanner, real quick, and then I'll go right to you. The question of ethics in science or in humanity, you know, in humankind in general, you'd think ethics would be important, but you can look back at all of the terrible things humanity has done to each other. And I'm not just talking about the obviously like slavery and stuff like that. You know, I mentioned on the show before, if you've never heard of Unit 731, look it up. It is awful. Agent Orange. There are things that we do to each other. What is to stop some scientist who has the technology and the private funding or whatever? He's not going to care about ethics. He's going to push the envelope.
I'm not saying that ethics would stop him, full stop. I'm saying it should. The point I'm making is that it should stop them. Yes.
Allison, why can I not hear? Do you have the show muted? That's always a problem I run into. And if you can't hear, then you couldn't hear me burn you. So it doesn't matter. Tanner, go ahead.
Okay. And I understand what you're saying with it not being familiar with anything in this time period. You know, the vegetation is different, the food source is different, air is different. But at the same time, if they go to clone something, like with these, for example, with the sample they found out of the preserved child or infant mammoth, that they would have to somehow splice, to get down to it, they're going to splice it in with elephant DNA. So it's going to have some kind of familiarity with things now.
See, and again, that to me it raises an even bigger ethical question. Now you are literally playing God. Now you're creating an entirely new species. You don't get me wrong, we have created lots of new species across lots of other areas of, you know, between plant life, between like selective breeding for house pets like dogs and cats and stuff.
Snakes. Interfering with the DNA of snakes has become really popular among pet.
And don't get me wrong, genetic modification in and of itself is not a bad thing. The idea of GMO gets bastardized in a lot of ways, and it gets demonized in a lot of ways. It's not inherently bad. You don't have to look for non-GMO food and think that that's going to somehow always guarantee to make you healthier. Basically, everything you eat is genetically modified in some form or fashion, so you're not getting around that one way or another. But at what point do we stop and go, yeah, but this thing never existed at all? This is not an apple that is red and juicy in winter when it shouldn't be growing. This is a brand new species of thing, half of which, presumably, has at least half of which, has not existed in hundreds of thousands of years. We don't know what that is or what it does. And if you can only create, even if you can, you know, only create one or two or whatever, are they related? Are you then going to breed those? Is that not going to cause bigger issues? I just think that there are too many variables that point. All signs point to no. If I'm the eight ball, all signs point to no. It's a bad idea.
And that's not to, also, you know, keeping these creatures contained is one thing, but eventually something will happen where, you know, and I'm not even talking about Jurassic Park style. Let's go back to like The Simpsons when they introduced the American bullfrog into the Australian, you know, ecosystem, and it wrecked it. So what happens if you have genetically altered creatures that could escape, and what are they going to do out in the wild? You know?
Well, on that same note, I'm living the exact same thing here, and you guys are too, just don't know it. But there's an invasive species of carp in the river that literally, so you go to New Orleans, and these Asian fish farmers down there were bringing in these Asian carp and breeding them in these ponds to sell at these markets and stuff. Mississippi comes up, floods New Orleans, especially. Basically, it happened with Katrina when the hurricane happened and everything flooded down there. So the river got into these fish farms, letting these invasive species get into the river, and it's just been chaotic ever since. You cannot drive down the river without one of these fish jumping in and hitting you in the head or something. It's dangerous. Like, they're terrible.
Tanner, I can't drive down the river to begin with. Sorry. It was low-hanging fruit, and I decided to go for it. Okay, so we got to move on, but the general consensus on this...
not genetically modified.
Playing God bad.
Yes.
Playing Black Ops good. So...
yes.
Let's...
All right, good night, guys.
Let's move on to the next
one. I got to try my new setup.
Tanner, why don't you go ahead... This was the longest one, so why don't you go ahead and take it?
Great. The title of this story is What Dreams May Come.
Yeah. It was supposed to be What May Come, and I screwed it up. That's my fault. It's a good movie. I like that movie.
Let's see here. A woman has been left terrified after discovering a secret door to a haunted hotel behind a mirror in her salon, which she only went looking for because she had a nightmare about finding a hidden entryway to a creepy venue. Well, that's something in and of itself right there.
That's By the way, real quick, before we go any further, Shannon, you said you really loved What Dreams May Come. Do you know where that title comes from?
It's yes, but I don't remember. I swear, I do know because I remember looking it up, but I cannot
remember. What do I always quote to you? What am I regularly quoting to you?
Ghostbusters.
Nope.
It's Always Sunny.
Yeah, but he's not wrong.
Play.
Oh, it's Shakespeare.
Mm-hmm.
It's Hamlet. Yeah, thank you.
What Dreams May Come is from To Be or Not To Be. For in that sleep of death, what dreams may come. That's why the whole movie is about suicide. Anyway, go ahead.
Love that movie. One of my favorite Robin Williams films. And sorry, Tanner, we're derailing it. We're talking about that great movie. Visually stunning film. Just beautiful.
Go on with the hotel.
A Palomino. They're beautiful creatures.
According to a series of viral TikTok videos shared by her daughter, Miranda, 24, the woman dreamed there was a door behind a mirror in her...
That is pronounced Waxahachie.
Waxahachie. That was really close to what I was going to say, but... Texas Saloon.
I would have said Waxahachie.
Waxahachie!
You left out an A.
Waxahachie.
And like lots of other stuff.
Yeah. Which is located next door to the infamous Rogers Hotel, which has long been subject to ghostly speculation and stories. My mom had a dream that at her salon...
Okay, the quote is unnecessary. It says the exact same thing.
Yeah. Okay. Also, I just want to point out that Tanner said Rogers the Hotel. I got a kick out of that. I'm sorry.
It's the infamous Rogers Hotel.
Rogers the Hotel.
The Rogers Hotel? Yeah, you can skip past basically almost all of the quoted sections. All
right. However, the creepy discoveries did not stop with the hidden door reveal. As well as finding the door behind the mirror, Miranda revealed that they also learned a small room in the salon was likely part of an old elevator shaft that was featured in an original hotel building. Although she has not yet revealed whether there was anything to be found in the elevator shaft, while Miranda's videos have caused an outpouring of speculation from spook TikTok users, many of whom cautioned the mother and daughter against any further investigation. It is a haunted hotel and you're opening a portal to the underworld, one person commented, while another added, heck no, I would leave that door as is. Shannon, would we leave that door as is?
No.
That's right.
That's right. We would poke and prod the hornet nest.
Yes, we would. let's see here. I don't know where I was at.
The Rogers Hotel.
Yeah, Rogers Hotel has long been a...
Rogers the Hotel.
Spooky stories about hauntings and ghost sightings with residents, guests, and former staff members all sharing stories about brushes with paranormal figures, including a little girl and a cowboy, quote unquote. Doug Reed, who is host of
Waxahachie,
Haunted History Tours, revealed. Damn it, Waxahachie. Waxahachie, yeah, that a former maintenance man at the hotel claimed to have seen cowboy ghosts in the building. According to Reed, the maintenance worker said the cowboy motioned to the basement and said, "Don't come down here. Evil things happen here." The tour guide also shared his thoughts on the stories about the ghost of the former owner's daughter, saying she can be found in the basement or the lobby. She likes riding the elevators and turning off the lights and the radio on and off.
I just wanted Tanner to say Waxahachie a bunch.
Before this goes any further, I'd just like to point out that my experimental synth man in college was called quote unquote cowboy.
I don't like TikTok as a whole. I just don't.
We know.
I'm biased, but it is a really good, it's a good bank of paranormal videos because a lot of people are going to TikTok to post these things because TikTok is, I mean, I might not be a huge fan of it, but I'm not going to be a WWE fan who goes, "Who's Bad Bunny?" I recognize that even though it's not for me, TikTok is one of the most popular apps in the entire world. A lot of people are using it. So a lot of people are sharing great paranormal videos on there. And, you know, Maria and I used to watch them all the time. That was my favorite thing that she showed me when it came to TikTok because she was a TikTok fan. There's more to this story. I just couldn't get it all in here. They tore it apart. They looked in it. I think it was weird that she had a dream about it and then decided to bust it open. That's the part that gets me the most, because if they owned it and she literally, I mean, they didn't just like take the mirror off or whatever and then look back there. Again, I had to leave parts of the story off. They literally had to cut, drill, and break down the walls to check this thing out. So I feel like she really did think there was something there. So I don't know. TikTok and ghosts go together like peanut butter and Usain Bolt.
They like each other? I don't know. You know, this is one of those things where, at the very least, it called me in with she had a dream about it. Like you said, that was the most interesting part. She had a dream about it and then decided that she would move this and check it out and then found some stuff there. From there, it gets way too generic for me. It's an old hotel, and there's a little girl ghost, and she rides the elevator, and then there's my favorite part, the cowboy who says, and I quote, "Don't come down here, evil things happen here." Come on, man. That's generic as it gets. The only thing that could be better is if he played up the cowboy part. I was really hoping he'd be, you know, "Don't come down here, partner. Evil things happening down here. Yeehaw!" And then he just rides away. but...
Where'd the ghost horse come from?
I like the first part. It had me hooked in the beginning. From there, it gets kind of, yeah. But such is life when it comes to these kinds of stories, I feel like. Dear David started out really good and then just kind of fell apart over time. And I feel like that's how a lot of these like serial things where it takes time to get invested in them. The first part is awesome. And the more you learn, the less you want to know.
Plus, so, they definitely seem like trash birds, too.
Like, the first half of it is like, okay, yeah, cool. And then the second half went straight on old wives' tales. Like, basically the story like Wagner's Hill for us, Shannon. It's just the idea of the place is creepy, and then all of a sudden you hear the story of the place that everybody likes to share, and you're like, ah, that's dumb.
Hate that story. I absolutely hate that story of Wagner's Hill. It's such...
Oh, I'm sure there's nobody here that can help me with this, but there was one down around. It wasn't in New Madrid, but it was from, you know, around where I grew up. The like the Malden lights, Malden headlights. Somebody down there has lights.
Yeah.
And we went one time, and you don't see anything, or you do, and it's headlights, and it's just. The story sounds neat because, oh, I'm going to go check this out, and it's unexplained, but then every person tells it differently, and they always add too much.
Yeah, same thing with Wagner's Hill. Wagner's Hill, it was, you know, it's a creepy story, but people are talking. I heard not only was it she killed her husband, and you could see their ghost, but then it became she killed her husband, and now his headless corpse walks around to, well, she walks around with an axe and his head in her hand, and, like, we went to Wagner's Hill to investigate it, and we saw a butterfly and a light. So...
we saw a hill, and that's all I got.
And no Wagners. Okay, next story. This one is a little bit more interesting, and I do have video for it. I'm going to send you guys the link so you can watch it separately from me playing it on here. So I'm going to put that in the chat real quick. There you go.
Okay.
And I will read this story that I wrote here. So, and this story, by the way, is called...
Real quick, can I mute this? Can I watch it muted?
Yeah, I mean, they just pretty much explain it. Yeah.
Okay.
And I'll tell you the story about it. This story is called Little White Girl Ghost is Mini Usain Bolt, according to an extremely white anchor. This is from a website called Boing Boing. I don't know it. But residents of Mentor, Ohio have recently been abuzz about sightings and video evidence of a mysterious, ghostly little figure scampering around. Apparently, a police officer even spotted the apparition. At 10:40 p.m. one evening, police responded to a citizen's report of a 7-year-old girl running around alone near an elementary school. This is from WKYC, which is the news station that we're going to watch the clip from. I was surprised by what I saw. The person appeared to be a small child, running rather erect and too quickly for a child, the police report said. When the officer got out of the vehicle to try and catch the child, nobody was in the area. The officer continued along the building expecting to see a child crying or scared, but no signs of anyone were found. Multiple other departments were searching the area, had no luck finding the child. After the search, the responding officer checked his dash cam video and found no child on it, which was saved as a, quote, investigative encounter. Shortly after trying to find the child on foot and the use of a canine, the drone team was deployed to search the area and did not locate anything. So basically, as the story goes, the people have seen this apparition of a little girl running around. And enough of them had called. I looked into it on other websites. There had been calls about it. And finally, a police officer was called, and he found this ghost child, quote unquote, and he actually talked to it in front of his dash cam, which is why he was shocked when he went back and checked the video later, and he's talking to nobody. So that's kind of creepy. We actually have video of this. So we're going to transition over to that real quick and show this video.
Around. Surveillance cameras have been catching what looks like a white figure running around at night. You can see it from a couple of different angles in these videos. Now, Mentor police even responded to a call from someone saying they thought they saw something strange. And when the officer showed up, he said he thought he saw a child running, but it looked like they were standing up too straight and moving too fast. And then he got out of the car. He said there was no one there, and the dash cam didn't pick anything up.
Okay, she's just repeating what I said, so... Anyway, yeah, so you saw the video. It did very much seem like a little kid running. And I think the oddness of it that they had canine, that they had drone units out there trying to capture this ghost, and they didn't see anything. To me, this is a pretty good quote-unquote ghost sighting. Tanner, what do you think?
That looks legit. I don't know. I don't know. I mean, there's not a whole lot I can say about it because it's pretty straightforward. I'm also curious at what speed that camera was running at.
You think it was running like it was actually faster than that, or that it was slower than that?
I don't know. I can't. It depends on like at the rate of the frame rate that the camera was running. Either way, it's still that's a good piece of evidence there. I mean, yeah,
I think so too. I think it's convincing. You know, you see a lot of videos. We see a lot of videos of ghosts. And they're too good to be true. You know, they're pictures of the ghost where they're standing in front of the camera in the ancient or in the old school dress and stuff like that. It's sometimes it's very, I don't know about that. This one I think is way more believable. Hunter, what do you think?
You know, it's not bad. To me, the video itself is fairly straightforward, like Tanner said, and nothing there inherently seems paranormal to me. I guess that's why at the same time it's better and worse, in the sense that just because they didn't find anyone or anything, to me does not mean, well, this is clearly, because I mean, if you want to look at it objectively, why did it show up on one camera but not another?
Yeah.
That to me is an important question to ask. And again, if this is somebody's kid who was running through the yard and then they brought him inside, well, no, you didn't find anything because there's nothing to find now. If this kid just lives in the neighborhood. Right. So I don't want to, you know, rain on the parade or anything, but just objectively from the opposite side, I think there are reasonable arguments for what happened. That being said, in favor of it, you know, when it first shows up in the video, it looks like it's coming around the side of a vehicle, but it also sort of looks like it just kind of shows up. I do wish in a way that it did not make it to the opposite side of the camera. Like if we lost track of it before then, that would be a lot more compelling.
Like if it kind of faded into nothing or something.
Yeah, and I don't want too much there, don't get me wrong, because at that point now I'm going to swing the other direction. Now this looks super fake. But in a way, that would kind of remind me, when we did the all video show a few weeks ago, that would remind me a little bit of the car that goes through the chain link fence and, right, and ends up on the other side. That would very much, to me, be more representative of, well, that was strange. It was strange once and then it was strange again. The video itself, if you had no context for it, does not seem all that strange. When they first show up, whenever first shows up, it's a little bit out of the clear blue sky, but it nothing about it after that is just, it's just a kid running around the street. So
to me, the big thing with this is the fact that the police officer, you know, saw it, that the police officer even put in his report that he saw this, whatever it was, and that he couldn't understand why it wasn't on his dash cam video. Whenever you have government or whenever you have officials that go on record as saying something weird happened, to me it's a lot more credible than here's just a video of something that could be ghostly. You were laughing. I feel like you got something here.
I'm sorry, there's a part of me that when you, because I wasn't thinking about the fact that they have type of a report, all I can imagine is them reporting to the commanding officer, who would say, oh, I'll just type it up on my invisible typewriter, la 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 la, fruit cake.
And then they fired that officer. Actually, they didn't fire the officer. It turns out it was a female officer. They sent her to work with another officer down in the basement who they made a TV show about it later. It was pretty good.
Real quick, Hunter, earlier you were talking about some lights or something, like the urban legend, some kind of urban legend you knew
Malden,
about.
Malden lights.
Malden, I think.
Like, are we talking like ghost lights or aliens?
Man, it's been a long time, but I don't remember it ever being I can't think of the word for
extraterrestrial.
Thank you. Yeah, extraterrestrial. It was supernatural, is as I recall, was always the reasoning behind it.
Well, the reason I ask is because there's something that's a really popular phenomenon that happened in the 60s and 70s, I believe. Enough so that SEMO became one of the few colleges that actually studied extraterrestrials back in the day. But the Piedmont lights were a big thing. Much so that Travel Channel has actually had a TV show that did an episode on it.
Were these in the sky? This was like a, okay. See, if I remember correctly, the Malden lights were more of a like close to the ground kind of thing, but if you got too close, they would disappear. It was very like, most people assumed it was weird swampy area plus headlights plus moonlight on some nights. You know, and don't get me wrong, I don't want to go full Men in Black. You know, it was a swamp gas trapped in a pocket refracted by Venus. Realistically,
I assure you, it was Venus. Yeah. Well, there's
Captain America over here. You know,
there's also the honors. The St. Louis lights, which are a pretty famous phenomenon. And then there, I think it's the St. Louis lights, or it might be a different one, but I remember seeing video. There was a documentary on it where there's a train track and they're called like the ghost lights of something. I'm going to have to look it up. I forget the exact place, but it's these train tracks that this light will appear on the tracks and slowly move forward. And eventually it just kind of disappears. And if you get closer to it, like there's videos of it. There's tons of videos of people that see it, but no one can figure out where the light is coming from. The popular theory is that it's a reflection of car lights somewhere off in the distance, that it could be, you know, something like that. But no one has an explanation for this. They think it is either a ghost train or it is a ghost train person, or I forget what, the conductor that's walking down the tracks holding a lamp. But it happens all the time, like clockwork, and no one knows what it is. So that's always one of the most fascinating stories I've ever heard. I like shit like that. I'm into it.
So you check this out. It's the name of the TV show on Travel Channel was called Alien Highway. The host has actually reached out. He would like to do an interview with us, Chuck Zukowski.
We'll get Mr. Zukowski on the phone right now.
I'll get right on that. But yeah, episode 8 of season 1, they actually did an episode about Piedmont.
Tanner, we still haven't had Neil Breen on the show. Or Derek Savage.
Or Cool Cat.
Sure haven't.
All right, last story.
Shannon, where is Cool Cat?
There he is. This is the most important story, and there's also a video of this. Hunter, if you want to go ahead and take this one, I'm going to get the video and pictures sent to you guys.
I got this. The headline for our top story tonight is in the Navy. So incredible footage supposedly taken by a U.S. Navy destroyer has been leaked, appearing to show several pyramid-shaped UFOs, or what are we calling them now? Remind me again.
UAPs.
UAP.
I knew there was
unidentified aerial phenomena.
Yep.
Thank you. Swarming above the ship at night. Filmmaker Jeremy Corp Bell, who produced documentaries for Netflix and such, was anonymously sent some baffling video from July 2019, as well as detailed info on an alleged intelligence briefing conducted by the Pentagon into unidentified aerial phenomena. There it is, UAP. On his Instagram and his website, Corbell claims that he's been able to verify their authenticity, having interviewed, quote, those who would have knowledge of the events, as well as having worked with renowned investigative journalist George Knapp, who, of course, Coast to Coast, right? He occasionally...
Weekend host.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. As well as the eye-opening video, Jeremy shared three videos taken by the USS Omaha of an unidentified spherical craft. He wrote, quote, it is noted that the spherical craft was suspected to be a trans-medium vehicle and was observed that is descending into the water without destruction. The two incidents appear to tally up with a previous story run by The Drive of multiple destroyers being swarmed by mysterious drones, or quote-unquote drones, off of California over a number of nights. Corbell was also sent some info on a third sighting March 4th of 2019 from an FA-18 pilot and a weapons systems officer. So all three of these incidents allegedly were discussed in a classified briefing conducted by ONI, the Office of Naval Intelligence, about that presence on May 1st of last year. And Corbell went on to finish saying, quote, those familiar with the briefing articulated to me that the goal was to destigmatize the UAP problem and to promote more intelligence collection regarding UAP incursions and encounters with active military deployments. Which, before you start in, I feel like I know where this is going, this is exactly what we've been talking about. The stigma is all over any sort of phenomena like this, and so never is any of it taken with any sort of legitimacy or seriousness. If you actually have, and of course we've only got this producer's word to go on for right now, but if the briefing that he says took place did indeed take place, and the goal is to start destigmatizing these things, maybe we'll finally get some answers.
So a couple, lots to unpack here. I'm glad we have the most time for that. Well, I've only got like 15 minutes for the story. We might use it all. a couple things on this. One, I again left some of the stuff out that was just too much to read, you know, too much to talk about. But that other incident he's talking about with the UFOs swarming the other destroyers in California, that it was also a big event that they recorded, that there was video and footage of these Tic Tac style UFOs. Over these destroyers for hours, long past any known drone battery life, that it could not be a drone, seen by multiple destroyers. They actually were in contact with each other, seeing these different lights and all of these different shapes and stuff. So very, very strange thing. The Air Force guy that took pictures out of his cockpit of the things that he saw. It was kind of hard to see, but it was definitely interesting. And what's really cool, before we show you the video, what's really cool is this briefing that they're talking about is apparently part of what's coming in June. And what's coming in June is the deadline. Remember when they snuck that thing into the bill earlier this year that says
the stimulus bill
that said they have to reveal all of their information that they have on UAPs and UFOs previously for Americans to see for the first time. This is all part of that that's coming out. So you're right. We may have answers coming soon about what these things are. I think it's incredibly intelligent that we finally start taking these things seriously, because we have said since the beginning on this show, go back and listen to the old episodes, that we don't say that the UAPs are necessarily extraterrestrial in origin. At the very least, they are technology that the United States government does not have, that is being used by what could be another foreign country, an enemy, that they're invading American airspace, and we need to know why. You can't just bat an eyelash at this and just say, oh, it's crazy people seeing UFOs in the sky. This is something, and more as these stories come out, the United States government is admitting, yes, there is something going on. They're not even pretending to deny it anymore. You know, back in the old days, growing up, everything was met with denial. I mean, that's the point of the X-Files, that the government denies knowledge of anything weird that happens. Now you literally have the United States government coming out and saying, no, this stuff is absolutely real, and we don't know what the hell it is. That is terrifying.
Or do they? That's the worst part, or do they?
Yeah. Because are you going to put it past the government to keep these secrets? Absolutely not. Let's take you to that footage real quick of these UFOs, the swarm over the Navy destroyer. We're going to show that here in the clip real quick. As soon as it decides to actually play. Come on. Why are you? There we go. She's a little slow. And by slow, I mean not.
She's got it where it counts.
By slow, I mean not playing at all. We're transmit back to me for a second. I think the government found out what we're doing, and they're trying to stop us. And I don't appreciate it.
You can't stop it now. It's out there.
Wow, this is weird. It's seriously, the video is not playing for me.
I didn't go to the full link, but when I clicked on the image, I just got an image for the record.
Okay, there we go. Now it's working. All right, taking you back to it. Sorry, I had to do some things here. But you can see the triangle-shaped UFO. I mean, look, this is so strange. This triangle-shaped UFO hovering above these destroyers. This is actual. This isn't some guy sitting out in his basement. I'm going to play that one more time. This isn't some guy sitting out, you know, in his yard watching things up in the sky. This is an actual documented, you know, government agent that is reporting this. And yeah, the video is just not playing now. So we got to see that one clip. Cool. Well, I hope you found that one clip interesting, kids, because
okay. Sorry. It's going to be okay.
Very irritating. I think I got another link of it up here though. I pulled up two links for the video just in case. I came prepared. So Tanner, you talk amongst yourselves while we do this.
Talk amongst yourselves.
I haven't watched the video, just for the record, so I'm also going to try to pull it up while this is going.
Okay, I got it. I got it pulled up now. Let's switch back to the footage.
I saw the image, but that's all I had.
One more time here, as soon as it will let me. Wow, this thing's being really difficult today.
For what it's worth, this website is a nightmare. It's a local news website, and they're always plagued with ads.
Yeah, it's trash. It's trash. So we got a different one. We're gonna put it on at this point. All right. So fascinating.
Yeah, I'm gonna cut that website loose before my computer melts. It is not happy trying to bring all that up.
All right, here we go. One more time. Fascinating for the people watching at home. I know. So this is once again footage from that U.S. destroyer. You can see the triangle-shaped UFO hovering above it. There's apparently other, you can see the glowing spheres here too. It's really strange. And again, this isn't some guy in his backyard. This is an actual government agency talking about this. And to me, that is just incredibly fascinating. God, all the ads they're trying to hit me with as we watch this. So, yeah. Thank God for ads. Where does it go from here? you know, and if you've not seen the video, I know if you're listening to this on Podzilla1985.com, if you just look up UFO Navy Destroyer, you can also see it. It's really fascinating footage. I am so curious about what we find out come June, because I think it could, I don't know, it's either going to be something really big or it's just going to be more of the same. I mean, how many times can you see strange object in sky, strange glowy object in sky? At some point you need more than that, you know?
Yeah, I we've already gotten a fairly big dump of information with the, what is it called? The Black Vault, if I remember correctly.
Yeah.
A lot of stuff that was dumped out, and thus far, I mean, not a whole lot has come out of that, but I don't know who's actually going through and pouring through this thing.
Right.
So, you know, ideally, if somebody gets set to that, they'll be the same, you know, sort of people inclined to, because you know what's coming in June is going to be, what we do know about it is that it's going to be dense, and it's going to be heavily redacted, and they're not going to be inclined to, you know, do anything about that. They'll let you have the info, but whatever's redacted remains redacted, and there's not really a whole to do about that. So hopefully whoever is inclined to do that kind of work, excuse me, is prepared to do the same sorts of stuff for these guys. I've been up since like 6 o'clock, so give me a break.
Yeah, it's like FOIA, you know, the Freedom of Information Act. They've already given out classified documents about UFOs for the past couple years. But I mean, if you go back and look at what they did release of Project Blue Book and stuff like that, there's so much that's heavily redacted, entire pages of black lines with three or four words that are visible. The point of the whole reason people have conspiracy theories about these things is like, when you see enough of that, if I see enough of, okay, here's the government telling me, here's the documents they have, here's the information that they have on these things, and so much of it is blacked out, my first thought is, what are you hiding? And you think that if there really is nothing, short of the stuff that they have to protect to keep, like, American soldiers safe or agents, you know, stuff like that, because there's some stuff that is classified information that if it got out, it could endanger people. But barring that stuff, the other stuff, if there's really nothing there, why don't you show us everything? And I think that's what this June thing, from what I understand, is supposed to be. This is everything. This is everything you guys want to know. Here it is. But you have to imagine that if it really is that big, there's no way they would release it, because you would think there would be a panic, there would be something major, but like we've discussed before, would there be? You know? I don't know.
That's a good question. And we won't know until then. My question right now is why Tanner is so sweaty.
I'm not.
Sweaty and uninterested. I think he's playing Farmville on his phone.
No, I'm...
Farmville!
I've got some paranormal stuff I'm working on right now, apparently. I didn't know about.
It's a good time to do it.
You didn't know you were working on it?
No.
Was it Merle? Did Merle talk you into it?
So, spoiler alert, I've recently been forced into another ghost hunting team.
Well, see, the trick is, Sander, you're not forced, so...
Gladly. I gladly accepted the invite, but...
you know, I remember when Maria and I started dating, and I said publicly, good news, guys, I've been forced into a new relationship. She really took that well. She was a big fan of it. Go ahead, Tanner.
I made that joke on the live stream last time we were all together, but they're actually back at the Carroll Hospital right now, and they're live streaming on Facebook and YouTube, so I'm...
So Tanner is ignoring the show he's on to watch a live stream of someone else investigating ghosts. All right, that's it. We're cutting the show there. We're done.
I'm not watching.
That's done. That's it. We're going to get out of here. Thank you guys for tuning in to an all-new I Want to Believe. We hope you enjoyed it. Tanner's flipping you off, but don't worry. I still love you. We're going to be back tomorrow with an all-new PZ85 Plays, which has actual space aliens in it. No doubt. There's no doubt about these. And
things going down, core of corruption, be there.
Wednesday, we've got an all-new Pro Wrestling Unscripted, which, by the way, yours truly will be making his grand return to PW, because we're going to talk about WrestleMania this week. Hunter, what about you? You down? You interested?
I uh, I've got some engagements after work that day, but you know, who knows?
You never know who's
going to see what happens. I did actually watch WrestleMania, so at least I can talk about it. I won't lie to you. I didn't watch all of night one because I did not watch it live. So the next day we popped our 7-day free trial of Peacock and let it run from like 3 o'clock on. Some of the stuff midday I didn't catch all of, but all of night two I was there for. Except for the women's tag team title match, and frankly, it sounds like I didn't miss much. So.
You did not. We'll talk about that on Wednesday with Asa and Dalton. Thursday is an all-new After Dark, and then, of course, Friday, it's ghost time on...
Oh, maybe. I don't know. This is one of the few times I don't know if I'm going to be around. I mean, I guess it could still be. You don't have to have me, but I don't know if I'll be here Friday. Hey, I might pop in Thursday.
Now that we got Kaz on the show, I don't even have to do anything. I can literally just turn the feed on, sit back... and watch Kaz go to town. So
just let him play with the animated horse. Yeah, yeah, I might pop in Thursday. I haven't been on After Dark in a while. I might pop in there.
We're actually calling this one Kaz time this Friday. So don't worry about it. All right, that's it, guys.
Before we go, I drew a spider.
A spider inside of a triangle UFO.
Yep, there he is. It's right there. Don't worry about how those legs are disconnected.
That's the ghost spider. All right, guys, that's it. We'll see you tomorrow for BZ85 Plays. Until then, Hunter, Tanner, Hunter especially, make sure, especially nowadays.
What? Why? Why is he...
Watch the skis. Tanner.
Skies.
What'd I say?
Skis.
Oh. Later. Fuck you, Tanner.